Welcome to another segment of the Agricultural Market Viewpoint. This is a podcast where we reflect on various themes influencing the agricultural economy here at home in South Africa and beyond our borders. Folks, it's Sunday, November 24th, and today I want to talk about Southern Africa's agricultural trade. The reason I keep talking about trade is because exports are everything in South Africa's agricultural sector. We have a sector that is export-oriented. Roughly half of what we produce on average go to export markets. So if we don't pay attention to the export activity, we face profitability and sustainability challenges in the long run, which is why we keep talking about this topic. But I'm focusing it on the Southern Africa region because there is also an opportunity to form regional value chains. And in the past few years, the Southern Africa region, if anything, we have spent a lot of time debating some trade friction matters. Countries like Namibia and Botswana have placed temporary bans on South African fruits and vegetables. And that has been an issue because you had certain farmers that knew that they are producing and they have a particular market in Botswana or in Namibia, and these are long-term relationships. And overnight, some of these were closed. And when you talk to people in Botswana and you talk to people in Namibia, domestically, there was an ambition, and there is still an ambition, to grow and boost their domestic production. That is an ambition that has been expressed by many of the farmers in these countries, but also the previous governments, particularly in Botswana. But the manner in which they went about it, perhaps maybe it could have been improved. Putting on an export ban on vegetables from South Africa without a proper communication. And secondly, considering the fact that we are in a customs union, so there are certain rules that we all have to follow. You cannot just arbitrarily block the exports. So there's some of those frictions that have been there. But it's a new day now in Botswana. They have a new government under President Duma Boko, and these are some of the things that perhaps maybe the new administration there should be looking into. Equally, in Namibia, there needs to be a sort of a clear focus of saying, okay, we are here now, but how do we go about coming out of this challenge? And certainly in South Africa, there's always an opportunity to say, if the fruits are blocked in some countries in Southern Africa, you can redirect those to other markets elsewhere in the world. But for vegetables, because of their high perishability and all of these value chains and the trading routes that have been formed for many years, it becomes difficult to take certain vegetables to far-flung markets somewhere in the world. So regional markets become super important in that. And in that context, then, if you talk to South African vegetable farmers, they have experienced financial losses because of this ban in the exports. And certainly, if you look at South African vegetable exports over the past few years, there were about 3 to 5% decline in value terms in terms of the exports, in part because of this ban that had been placed. So there's a frustration across the entire region. But the other aspect of it is the fact that if you look at food price inflation, especially vegetable price inflation in Botswana compared to South Africa, you have inflation in vegetable products in Botswana running at double digit compared to South Africa, where it's less than 5%. So there is also that price dynamic issue for the consumers, which I think we all ought to look after food security in Southern Africa and know that whatever trade policy and ambitions that we put in place, they really to encourage regional food security. And I think that must be at the top of mind. And of course, that doesn't say South Africa should be the big brother that feeds everyone and everyone must be paying South Africa to produce all of these things. But rather, each country really has to look at its advantages to say, where do we have a comparative advantage in actually doing anything? And where can there be collaboration? And where there can be skills transfer, and we calibrate policy in an appropriate manner, and each country communicating what its ambitions are, so that we don't get into the problems that we are in now, where there's not a clear conversation on neighbors. We're supposed to be forming a strong regional pack, and we are all part of the SACU region. And even beyond SACU, Southern Africa, East Africa, these are all the regions that we should be strengthening and thinking regionally instead of only thinking and focusing on the national policies. And we do have example of things where there's been collaboration. I mean, if you think about the citrus farmers in South Africa, the Citrus Growers Association of Southern Africa, they do a lot of research whose outcome then gets to be shared with some of the countries in the region so that they can benefit from those technologies and insights to grow their citrus production. Which is why, while based in South Africa, the CGA, the Citrus Growers Association, it's for Southern Africa. It has members in Zimbabwe and some of the other African countries. So that's a one part. But equally, Botswana has played an important role. If you think about the livestock industry on a foot and mouth disease, South Africa buys a lot of vaccines from Botswana. So we should be thinking even there to say Botswana does well in livestock and we can import and do a lot with them. And South Africa, in areas where they have comparative advantage, they specialize a lot on those things. But still, that doesn't say in certain regions in Botswana where they feel that there should be an expansion of the production of certain products, we should then look and say, does South Africa have a skill and the technology to assist in doing that, while at the same time thinking about the volumes on a cross-border, but not arbitrarily putting all of these blockages that we have been putting in place. Another thing should be the thinking now on the new administration that comes into Botswana to say, how do we firm up the regional value chain so that the farmers in Botswana are not overwhelmed by the product out of South Africa? Equally, South African farmers are not completely shut out of Botswana. And here, I'm not suggesting export quotas. I think we can come up with an elegant way of thinking about this, benefiting the Botswanan farmers, while at the same time, there's a flow of product out of South Africa. And that's the conversation that both governments and as well as businesses, the agribusinesses in both countries, should be thinking about. And take this further than Botswana, South Africa, South Africa, Namibia, and think about it regionally, these regional value chains in the food production, which we have to appreciate and embrace as a continent. And I think beyond that, South Africa then, as a country that has a bit of an ambition to expand its export markets, we can also look at these countries, neighboring countries, Botswana and the others, to say, how do you piggyback on South Africa in even in products where you do well to reach the markets that we are aiming, either in the Middle East, in Asia, really thinking about trade regionally? And I think that's something that we have to be having in the back of our mind, because everything else that we have been doing, especially on the last 2 years, it's contributing to trade distortion, frustration for everyone, ambiguous communication that we have been seeing. And I think that we have to open up and think regionally and rebuild on that. Now, enough about preaching about what the Southern Africa should be doing. I think the other thing that we have to be doing then as a region is this story of thinking about those Middle East markets and the Asia markets, because ultimately South Africa, its agricultural sector will remain intact and interlinked in the African continent. Because if you look at our agricultural exports, and I've made this point several times, we exported last year, 2023, around $13.2 billion. About 40% of that was in the African continent. But 90 cents in every dollar is in the SADC region. And very few countries, Botswana, Namibia, and the others, Zimbabwe and the others, make up nearly 70% of the exports of South Africa going going to the African continent. So it's not in the interest of either us or the other countries to actually have a trade friction, because we are all interlinked in our food system. If anything, we should be saying then, where are the other markets in BRICS and elsewhere? And how can South Africa utilize its abilities as it communicates with the other countries to not only speak for South Africa if we are in BRICS, but consider the ambitions of the neighboring countries as we sit in all of the platform where we have an opportunity? Equally, if Botswana and the others are talking to certain people and they know that South Africa is a certain product and have a consideration of that. And I think that's the discussion we really should be having. So my hope is that the new administration, President Dumaboko and the colleagues there, they begin thinking about this, engaging with South Africa and seeing how they take this forward. Equally, the South African private sector, thinking about how can we assist and do more regional work, because this is only important if we strengthen the Southern Africa agricultural sector. There are actually other things beyond that that are related to phytosanitary matters and the things that can be resolved. But I think we have to instill this regional mindset when we are thinking about the agricultural sector. The other exports, of course, of South African agricultural products, they go, you have about 19% to the EU, 7% to the UK, and then you have Middle East and Asia taking up roughly just around about 23-24% of our agricultural exports, so a big market. But I think that there's still a lot more room to grow South African agricultural exports into the BRICS region and elsewhere in the world, while at the same time we have to ensure that we retain access in the current markets. And I'm raising this trade friction stuff of the region at the moment, because we are going at a period where we see what the trade policy direction may be in the U.S., considering President Trump's policies, points or viewpoints that he has expressed as he was campaigning, which are somewhat a bit more hawkish when you're thinking about trade. So as the region, perhaps maybe it's important that we really firm up and think regionally and see how do we assist each other. And I think that's the conversation that should be happening regarding some of these matters. So really, we have to focus on easing agricultural trade friction in Southern Africa, and know that ultimately what's important is job creation, support for the farmers, and most at the top of all, food security for the consumers. Right now, what we've been doing over the past few years have been very costly for households, especially in Botswana and what we see in Namibia. And we have to correct all of these things. Again, not to the dominance of South Africa, but for clear and a good cooperation as the region. Folks, thank you so very much for listening to this week's podcast. My name is Wandile Sihlobo. I'm an agricultural economist based in Pretoria, South Africa. You can check out some of our podcasts, of course, listen to some of the themes that we have discussed, and follow us on socials at Wandile Sihlobo across all socials. The podcast is in Kokeli Podcast, and follow our publisher, The Financial Mail. Thank you for listening.